I'm asking you please to open your Bible with me in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we're reading these familiar words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And amen, God always blesses to us the reading of his sacred word. For a number of weeks, many people have been concerned about Maud Kiles in the heart of the Congo. Several weeks ago, she was shot. She is making slow progress. The Congo has been a troubled area for many years, and another couple from Belfast, or at least Jim was from Belfast, were a couple known as Jim and Ida Granger. Jim Granger, as a young man, was converted under the ministry of W.P. Nicholson at the old Shankill Mission away back in 1924. He lived in Cambariah Street, and therefore he attended the Welcome Hall, where Pastor Johnson led what was known as the Johnson Revival. During those days, many missionaries went to various mission fields, and as a young man, why, Jim Granger went to the missionary colony in London and there prepared and joined C.T. Studd in 1931 in the heart of the Congo. Those were difficult years, but for the next 57 years, that would be Jim Granger's home. It was his home in a place called Yumbi in 1964 when the Zimba uprising happened. Many of the missionaries were killed, as indeed thousands of Congolese were murdered and martyred. They were terrible times. For Jim and Ida, it was a terrible night on the 31st of October 1964 when at 2-3 o'clock in the morning they were disturbed out of their sleep by the sound of trucks arriving, and the next thing, the butt of a rifle banging on the door and telling them to come immediately. They were obviously shaken, and as they answered the door, why, the open door brought an invasion of soldiers who stood around them, demanding their passports and ordering them to get onto the back of a truck. Remember, it's 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark of the jungle, and Ida, quite trembling, and John, afraid for his wife, they handed over their passports, they got into the truck, and they had no baggage with them other than the clothing they were wearing. But Jim tucked into his pocket, his shirt pocket, a small Bible, at least a New Testament. They drove through the night to a place called Bunya. That's where Maud Kiles has been during these last few weeks. They went to Bunya. And there in Bunya, they were put into a house with 19 Belgians. These were Belgian miners who had been in the Congo to work in the gold mines. They also, as Europeans, were arrested. And 19 of them were put in the house with Jim and Ida, or at least Jim and Ida put in with them. And then in a neighboring house, another 70 Belgians, all of them together, housed together. They were there from the Thursday through to the following Thursday. On the following Thursday, they were put onto the back of another truck, and through the night, they were driven for 120 kilometers. Jim knew that along this road, many people had been murdered, and some missionaries had been martyred, and they didn't know what would happen to them. They were fearful times. Getting to their destination again, they were put into these crowded rooms. The missionaries were trusting the Lord, but the Belgians were greatly agitated. All the more so when the next day the rebels brought a line of the soldiers, as a matter of fact, all of the Belgians, rather, brought all of the Belgians out of the house where Jim and Ida had been, left Jim and Ida on their own, put the Belgians up for a firing squad, and there they lined up the soldiers with their automatic guns to mow them down. Jim and Ida were praying. They knew that apart from these 19 who were lined up, there were 70 others who perhaps would follow. And as they prayed, laid hold of God, tears flowing down their face. People outside were baying for the blood of Jim and Ida. Bring out the missionaries. They've got to be killed. Something happened that there was a change of mind in the Zimba general, and very soon the Belgians, instead of being shot, were put back into the house. Jim, as he stood before them, he opened his Bible and said, "Sirs, I'd like to read to you." And so it was from John chapter 14. Jim Granger read to these Belgians the very words that we've been reading this evening. We've been reading them in the context of a church on a secure Sunday evening. But if you can remember the circumstances in which they were on the brink of eternity, facing death eyeball to eyeball, and to listen to these words of the Lord Jesus, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Jim Granger couldn't help but notice that tears were flowing down the cheeks of these Belgians as one by one they began to kneel around him. As Jim read on and came to those words where Jesus said quite dogmatically, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Jim urged upon them that they needed to come to Christ. The only way to God and the only way to heaven, the only way to peace, was through Jesus Christ. And Jim Granger prayed with those men as they repeated his prayer. He led them to personal faith in Jesus Christ. The sequel to that story is that some 15 minutes later, there was the sound of gunfire. Everyone hit the floor, and within 20 minutes, while the mercenaries had overtaken that campus, the Belgians were set free, and Jim and Ida were set free to continue their missionary work. But he would never forget the day that he preached to those Belgians on John chapter 14 and the words of the Lord Jesus. These are the same words I'd like to leave with this congregation this evening. These words of the Lord Jesus that perhaps you can recite by heart. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Our Lord Jesus was underlining the problem of a man is the problem of his heart. He was underlining that the answer to a troubled heart, an empty heart, a sinful heart, a soiled heart, a deceived heart, is faith in God, strong faith in Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. We live in a troubled world. We live in a world, my friend, where hearts are broken and hearts are burdened, and all across our society, men and women are trying to fill the emptiness of our hearts. Some are carrying that sense of guilt in their heart, wondering how they can cleanse away the soils and the stains of a life that has been ruined. Jesus Christ said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." He was indicating not only the focus of that faith, but the fruition of that faith. Is it faith in Jesus Christ brings peace? The Bible reminds us, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus not only spoke of a strong faith, he also spoke of a secure and sure future. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord Jesus spoke of heaven as a place, a real place. It is the Father's house. He spoke of preparation, not only that he would make, but underlining the preparation that we have got to make. My friend, all of us are traveling to the great eternity. In eternity, as we reminded ourselves last Sunday, we will spend all of eternity either in heaven and in hell, or in hell. And the Bible reminds me, my friend, that there's got to be a preparation of the soul. Amos preached in his day, "Prepare to meet thy God." Matsi Tung, as we said last week, as he was dying, he said, "I have one more appointment to keep." What was that appointment? "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death comes the judgment." The Lord Jesus, reminding of that secure place, he not only spoke of its preparation, But he spoke also of the promise that Jesus is coming again. And my friend, can I say that that is the blessed living hope of every believer in Jesus Christ. A hope that is an anchor to the soul. A hope that helps us to sing in our sorrow and clears away those tears to see the promise of the soon coming Lord Jesus. The last prayer of the Bible is, even so, come Lord Jesus. We are looking and living for the day when Jesus comes. However, our Lord Jesus not only spoke of that strong faith that will bring peace to a troubled heart, not only spoke of that secure future, that place of heaven that Jesus has gone to prepare, but the Lord Jesus, in this dogmatic statement, he gave to us, my friend, what is certainly a simple foundation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I say a dogmatic statement of the Lord Jesus, for so it was. We're living in a day, my friend, when people are telling us there are many ways to heaven, especially in this, our United Kingdom. We are facing times of political correctness where we can't be exclusive anymore. Can I say that as believers, we've got to be as exclusive as this Bible is? This Bible tells us that Jesus and Jesus alone is the way. What someone will tell us is, why going to heaven is like going to New York by aeroplane. You can go from Dublin with Aer Lingus. You can go from London with British Airways. You can go from France with Air France. You can go from Germany with Lufthansa. You see, they all go from different countries, but they're all going to the one place. So they tell us. It is the same with all different sorts of faith. We're all going to the one place. My friend, can I just remind you, we are not traveling to New York. We're traveling to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I say that this evening because these words of our Lord Jesus, first of all, they indicate to us that Jesus Christ, he is our guide in the direction of life. He said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I say that this evening because this statement alone excludes everything else. You see, when Jesus said, I am the way, remember that he is telling us that the way to heaven is a person. Let me say that again. The way to heaven is a person. We speak sometimes of the pathway. May I just remind you what Jesus said? He said, I am the door. The door is a person. That is why the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. That is why the psalmist said, the Lord is my salvation. You see, salvation is not in a principle. It's not in a practice. It's not in a precept that's given to us. It's not in the philosophy of man. It is not the golden rule or keeping the Ten Commandments or belonging to a church or some religion or Bible study or charity or something that I can do. My friend, it's far beyond all of that. It is in the person, and that person is Jesus Christ himself. That is why it's important that you have Jesus Christ. I say again that he is our guide in the direction of life. Jesus says, I am the way. Some of you will remember the story of the Battle of the Bulge. The Battle of the Bulge was one of the most important battles in the recapturing of Europe and the defeating of Germany. But in the Battle of the Bulge, something terrible happened. German soldiers dressed as American servicemen, they infiltrated into the American zone. And in the dead of night, they went round the countryside and the streets of the villages, changing all the names of the streets, turning directions all around. So much so that on the next day, havoc was abroad. People were going all in the wrong direction. It was absolute confusion. Why? Because no one knew the way. I say that because we live in a world of confusion. It seems to be that men and women have changed the signals all around. They're telling us that we need to depend more on education. We're living in the age of advanced knowledge and Scientology and all the other isms that they will bring into our world. I tell you this evening, Jesus Christ cuts across it all and says, I am the way. They tell the story of a man from the city who was up the country, and as he traveled along, he met a farmer, and he said, excuse me, sir, is this road the best road to town? The farmer said, sir, it's not the best road to town. It's the only road to town. I say of you, to you, of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is not only the best way to heaven, he's the only way to heaven. It is quite exclusive. Jesus said, I am the way. Let me just underline it. He is the way to holiness. There are people who think that holiness is the way to Jesus. That is, if I can clean up my life and do the best I can, or some people devote themselves to a charity and go off to a foreign land, do social work, and they feel if only we can gain merit and gain holiness, that is the way to Jesus. But my friend, may I tell you that it's absolutely reversed in the Bible. Holiness is not the way to Jesus. Jesus Christ is the way to holiness. It is Christ who washes away our sin. It is Jesus Christ who becomes our Savior. And in becoming our Savior, he becomes our righteousness before God himself. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That is why I say tonight, when Jesus is the way, he is the way to holiness. And my friend, the only way to get right with God and have a heart that is right with God is to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The Lord Jesus indicated he was not only the way to holiness. The Bible tells us in the words of the Lord Jesus that he was the way to happiness. Why, at the very end of this chapter, he said these words, my joy I give unto you. Not only his peace, but his joy. Oh, we used to sing the chorus, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. My friend, the Bible reminds us that one of the chief characteristics of the Christian life is the sense of joy, the song that he gives in our hearts. I think I told you of a new Christian I met some years ago, and I said to him, are you happy? He said, happy? Victor, I'm so happy that if I was a cow, I would moo all day. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has given to me a song in my heart. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus does for us. He gives us real joy in our heart. And I say again, the words of our Lord Jesus. Listen, the happiness that Jesus gives does not depend on happenings in our life. Some people feel when they win something or they've had a good day, it brings happiness. But may I just remind you that happiness is temporal and changeable. But when Jesus gives you joy, it's joy that's down in your heart. The Apostle Peter, writing in his days, he said that you can have joy even though you're going through fiery trials. It may seem all wrong on the outside, but when Jesus gives you joy, it is not temporal, it's not external, it's internal and eternal joy. When Jesus welcomes home his servants and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's why Jesus Christ is the way to holiness and the way to happiness. And then, of course, in the context of this, he reminds us that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. He's the only way. There are people who think that there are other ways. Do you know that in the book of Proverbs, Solomon recorded twice these words, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The end thereof is a way. It's not even a cul-de-sac, my friend. It's a way to hell, the way to perdition. And that is why people may try to invent their own way. I remember, and this is an aside, when we lived in the United States of America, we were in Philadelphia, and a deacon in our church had sold a piano to a lady. And because he was working during the day, he asked another pastor and myself to deliver it. The only thing is, it was a summer's day, and I still remember getting to this house and an apartment. She lived in the penthouse on the 10th floor, and here we were with a piano on the ground floor. You've seen Laurel and Hardy push a piano up the stairs. Well, that wasn't quite how it was. We got into the elevator with this piano, and the elevator took us all the way up. My colleague out there, he was a great soul winner, and As soon as we got in, the lady saw that we were sweating, and she said, would you like a beer? Well, we said, no, but if you have Coca-Cola, that will do well. So she got us a Coca-Cola, and just as the lady was going to sip, my friend said to her, if we were death that you met, would you be ready to meet God? The poor woman nearly fell out the window of the penthouse. She never expected that from two furniture removers. And she said, oh, I don't believe in hell. She says, I was brought up teaching all that thing, but I don't believe there is a hell. I believe that God is a God of love, and he would never think of hell. I believe in the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. My friend said, lady friend, I want to tell you, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, taught us all about hell. She was thinking her own way. We went on to tell her a story about the Indians of Brazil and how the Juma Indians near to where we lived, they used to take their dead, take their very sick people, and before they would die, they would bury them alive. Think of that. The wife of the chief, the wife of the Tushal, as we call it, they would take her out into the jungle, and there in a shallow grave, the lady still alive, lower into the grave, and she'd wave goodbye as they were wailing and crying, and they buried her alive. The lady said, but that's wrong. That's barbaric. I said, well, that's your opinion. They believe that if you can enter the next life alive, you get a head start than everybody else. It's wrong. But just as they're wrong, so you're wrong. Who gives you the authority to say there is no hell? My friend, that is why we need the revelation of God. And that is why we need these words of the Lord Jesus. I am the way. Pastor and Mrs. McBratton are here this evening, and there was a missionary from their church, our good colleague, Hazel Miskinen. Hazel, well, she's with the Lord now, and I can say about her, but Hazel wasn't the best for directions. And I remember back in the 60s when we would go to Brazil by boat, it would take us 6 weeks to get there. Hazel was the first of our missionaries to travel from Brazil to Britain by plane. I didn't realize it would be such a jeopardy for Hazel. Audrey and I saw her onto the plane, the Air France plane, would take her from Manaus all the way to Paris. We told her that in Paris she would then transfer to London. And there in London, someone would be waiting for her. Well, Hazel, we saw her onto the plane, and there's nowhere else to go other than Paris. The plane took her to Paris. When she got off the plane, she began to follow the passengers, and she got through the gate and onto the plane and sat down, and the plane took off. And within half an hour, 40 minutes, the plane was coming into land, and the air hostess said, fasten your seat belt. We're coming in to land in, I think it was Cologne. It was in Germany, I know that. It was Frankfurt. We're coming in to land in Frankfurt. Yes, I said, Frankfurt? I'm going to London. And she remonstrated with the air hostess. I boarded this plane for London. Why is it? She said, madam, you've boarded the wrong plane. You followed the wrong crowd. You went the wrong way. You got on the wrong plane. You ended up in the wrong place. My friend, can I say that's how it is with many tonight? They're following the wrong crowd. They're going into the wrong way. And they will end up in the wrong destination. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus not only indicated that he was the guide for the direction of our lives, but he is the one who guards the doctrine, the teaching of our lives. For he said, I am the truth. It is quite remarkable that the Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. He not only said that he was truth, but he reminds us he is the truth. He is the plumb line of all truth. As a matter of fact, this Bible reminds us that when Jesus Christ came into the world, it says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I say that today because there are many people seeking after truth. May I just remind you, truth, like the way, is in a person. There are lots of things that are true in our world that people know about. For example, mathematics. You can't change mathematics. The law of mathematics is something that's quite dogmatic. You can know all about it. You can know all about science. The science, incidentally, is the observance of facts. There are many people who are taking the things that are in our world that are true, But they're divorcing all that is true from Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And can I say, my friend, you can get all of the knowledge and all of the study and grasp all of that truth in our world, but divorce it from Jesus Christ, it means nothing. As we said this morning, what is the good of knowing all about geology if you don't know the Rock of Ages? What is the use of knowing all about zoology if you don't know him who is the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah? What is the use of knowing all about astronomy? We've been hearing about the planets in our universe. Know all about astronomy and not know him who is the brightened morning star, the Son of Righteousness, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That is why when Jesus said, I am the truth, my friend, it is important that you know him. I say we're living in an age of rationalism that will question the truth, and agnosticism that touts the truth, and infidelity that rejects the truth. As believers in Christ, we embrace Christ, for he is the truth. I say that today because a lot of people in our world today are grasping things that they do not know. Jesus Christ is the incarnate truth. This Bible is the imprinted truth, the inerrant truth. And thank God, beloved, we are resting on the promise of our blessed Lord Jesus, for his word is truth. The last promise of the Bible is, behold, I come quickly. We're resting on that. We're resting on a God who cannot lie. The word of the Lord Jesus, Jesus said, my word cannot be broken. Why? Because he is the truth. The way is a person. He's our guide. The truth is a person. He guards the truth. And thank God, beloved, throughout the countless ages of eternity, he will always be him who is faithful and true. However, the Lord Jesus said these words, I am the life. When Satan deceived our parents and they fell into sin, they were not only separated from God, not only, my friend, were they separated from God, but the Bible tells us that death entered into the world. May I just remind you that when Jesus came, he came to open up the way. I am the way of reconciliation and redemption. But he came also with regeneration. Regeneration means to bring life again. And as a Christian, my friend, the life that we enjoy is not a life apart from Christ. Christ is the life. I am the life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, give his life for the sheep. But the same shepherd said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. That is, not only give his life for the sheep, he gives his life to the sheep. That is why the Apostle Peter reminds us that we, as believers, we have a divine nature, the life of God within the soul. And Jesus says, I am the life. My friend, can I say this evening, that's exactly how it is for everyone who knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I stood in Jerusalem just last year with a Canadian Jew, and he said, I've studied the New Testament and I've studied the Torah, and I believe that there is one way you can be born again, but another way we can go by the law. But my friend, may I just remind you that there's no life to be had through the law. Life comes by faith in Christ. John chapter 3, the whole emphasis of the chapter is on life. That's why it begins with Jesus speaking to Nicodemus about being born again. That's where this new life begins in the heart of a man or woman. When they come to Christ, they are born again. Says the Lord Jesus, he that believeth in me shall have everlasting life. The last verse says, he who hath the Son hath life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Why, Jesus Christ came to bring life by the way of himself. And I say to you this evening, my friend, in our meeting, if you've got Jesus Christ, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. You can't divorce the way from the person. You don't divorce the truth from the person, and you cannot divorce the life from the person. It's all in Jesus. That's why he's everything we need. That's why we preach Christ. We don't preach our church. We don't preach even, my friend, any sort of denomination. The Bible reminds us that we preach Christ and him crucified. Why? Because quite exclusively Jesus said, I am the way. They tell the story of a little boy one day who went to hear the great Dwight L. Moody. And he couldn't get in. The stewards at the door told the boy, the place is packed, there's no way to get in. The little boy was very disappointed to the point that he was almost shedding tears when suddenly quite a plump man came by with a long beard. And the plump man, seeing the little boy, he said, what's wrong with you, son? Oh, said the boy, wanted to go in to hear Mr. Moody, but the stewards won't let me in. They say there's no more room in the place. The man to whom he spoke was D.L. Moody himself. Said Mr. Moody to the boy, you hang on to my coattails and I'll make sure you get in. I'll be the way. And so it was that Moody took the boy and he walked by the stewards and through the crowds and right to the platform, and he brought the boy and he preached in those words. Jesus said, he didn't come to show the way. Jesus came to be the way. Do you have him tonight? Do you know him tonight? There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. To be saved, I am the way. To be sure that we're saved, he says, I am the truth. To be satisfied as Christians, Jesus gives to us a brand new life. My friend tonight, come to the Savior. Let us pray. I say again, we're sitting in the safety and comfort of a church in Lisburn tonight. But think how it must have been for those miners facing a firing squad. If you'd been in their shoes or boots or bare feet for that matter, would you not have prayed and asked Jesus Christ into your heart? If you needed to do it then as they needed, my friend, you need to do it tonight. Don't put it off. Don't try it another time. Come to Jesus Christ tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless this simple word to every heart this evening and give to men and women the grace to do what they need to do. The grace to do what they will be glad they've done on that day when they stand before thee. And that is to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So bless thy word to every heart, we pray. For these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.